Father in heaven, Lord, I thank you for your word. And God, as it goes forth, I ask, Lord, that as we get into the word, Lord, I ask that you would cause the word to get into us right now. Lord, I ask that the word would fall on good ground this morning. God, people that are ready to receive it, they're ready to apply it. And God, they're ready to live out this sermon. And I ask that you would capture every attention span of every single person, Lord, to be able to bless them. In Jesus' name, amen. I am going to minister this morning on your words and your confession. Everybody talks to themselves. Everybody talks about their life. And unless your confession, unless what you're saying lines up with the word, you're self-prophesying some of your own destiny. If you are telling yourself that your situation is never going to get any better, guess what? It's not going to get any better. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. So sometimes what we have to do is change ourselves from the inside out and get our walkie-walkie going with our talkie-talkie, and our hearts and our words need to line up with what the Word of God says. The problem with a lot of people is they don't know what the Word says because they don't get into their Word. Amen? So in Genesis chapter 17, we are going to go word upon word, line upon line. You can hang on every word that's in here. So when Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to him. Now, I'm going to tell you something that I've seen over and over, and it's when people get older, they begin to feel like that God can't use them anymore. How many people, you are 80 years and older in this place? God can still use you. How many of you are 70 years old and older? God still has a plan for your life. He still wants you up on your feet and working for him. So what we see here in the Word, when we really break it down, is at the age of 99 years old, God still appeared to Abram, and he began to speak to him. And so if you're under the sound of my voice this morning, I don't care how old that you are, God still has something for you to do. He has something for each and every single day. And what the devil would like to do is come in with depression and feeling like, well, I'm used up and I'm old. No, you're not used up. You may be old, but you're not used up. God still has something for you to do to be a blessing and to minister on his behalf. And so it says, at the age of 99, the Lord appeared to him and said, I am God Almighty. And you know what? We need to tap into who he is. This is the third message that I've really pointed this out. Who is God to you? On your worst day, I hope that you're making that recognition that he is still the great physician. He is still the King of Kings. He is still the Lord of Lords. He is still the Alpha and the Omega. It doesn't matter what you're going through. God is bigger than what you're going through. God is stronger than your enemy. God is stronger than what's been said about you and said over you. There isn't anything that any demon in hell can do to come against you that God hasn't already raised up a standard just for you. But see, you've got to know that at any point in time in your life, God can appear to you and still have something for you to do. I talk to way too many older people and they feel washed up and used up and no good. And see, that's a hard thing for people. That's hard on them. I have two volunteers every single Wednesday. One of them is 94 and one of them is 90. And I guarantee you they do circles around all of us. God has something for you. Stop looking at how old you are and just say, God, here I am till the very last breath. I'm here at your service. I know that Jack, he cornered me a couple weeks ago and he said, when are you putting me back on that rotation to door greet? That's what God's looking for. And it says, I am God Almighty and walk before me and be blameless. Verse 2, I will confirm my covenant between me and you and will greatly increase your numbers. Now, when you look at that word confirm, it means to remove all doubt. So here is God, and he's coming to Abram at the age of 99, and he says, you know what? today, Abram, right now, in this season of your life, I'm going to validate what I've told you I'm going to do. And what I plan to do is make your numbers increase. You're going to be called the father of many nations, which was ironic for him because he didn't have any kids except for Ishmael at that time. And Ishmael was not the promised son to him. That was the, I can't trust God and I'm going to try to figure it out and help God's son. See, you can't play God because his ways are going to be higher than what you could ever think of. And what God needs is not for you to figure out how he's going to make happen what he promised you. What he needs is your obedience and your patience. Amen. And it says, I will confirm my covenant between you and between me. And I want to tell you this morning that God plans on and he is confirming and validating his covenant between you and him. The things that he's told you that he would do for you, he's going to confirm those things, Alyssa. He's going to validate you. You know, sometimes when you're in this life, you can begin to feel like, you know what, I'm just no good. I'm washed up. God can't do this for me because of this, this, and this. You know what? God is looking for people that he can confirm himself in. I will confirm my covenant between me and you and will greatly increase your numbers. Abram fell face down and God said to him, as for me, this is my covenant with you. You will be the father of many nations and no longer will you be called Abram. See, right here in this moment of time at the age of 99, God changed his name and he began to call him something else. Now, if you're anything like me, you've had some haters in your life, you've had some problems come up in your life, and you've been called many things. Some of those things, maybe you've been called a failure. Maybe you've been called this, or maybe you've been called that. Let me tell you something. God has the ability to change your destiny. God has the ability to change what you've been called. God has the ability to change anything in your life that needs to be changed. And in this moment and in this season of his life, he says, today, I confirm my covenant with you, and today, I'm going to call you something different. There's too many people, too many good, God-loving, God-fearing people, and you're stuck in mediocrity. God has something better for you. Amen. But you got to believe that, and you got to be willing to be called something else. No longer will you be called Abram. Your name will be Abraham, for I have made you a father of many nations. See, right here, God spoke, and he changed something. Your words are either going to do one of two things. Your words can move mountains, or your words can make mountains. They're going to do one of two things. And that's how powerful that your words are. The Word of God says that you have, if anybody has faith, like as small as a mustard seed, you can speak to this mountain and tell it to move and it'll be moved. But I'm here to tell you also, you can make mountains with just speaking. A lot of things that's gone wrong in people's life is because they spoke it forth. That's just how important that your words really are. The other day, yesterday, I was praying for a young lady, and I was really puzzled, and all day I wrestled with this, and I thought, God, I don't know what to pray for this person, but I love this person. Tell me what to pray. And I remember, Alyssa, I was in my bathroom, and I flipped the switch on in the light. It was like a little switch came on in my pea brain, and God finally put that prayer. He said, Kelly, you begin to pray self-esteem over that young lady because that's what's lacking. That's what's lacking. So what we see in the Word is God speaking something forth before it ever happened. Your words are very powerful. I will make you very fruitful. I will make nations of you, and kings will come from you. I will establish my covenant as an everlasting covenant between me and your descendants after you for the generations to come, to be your God and the God of your descendants after you. The whole land of Canaan, where you are now an alien, I will give as an everlasting possession to you and your descendants after you, and I will be their God. go now to Genesis chapter 17. We're going to skip to verse 15. God also said to Abraham, "As for Sarai, your wife, you are no longer to call her Sarai. Her name will be Sarah, and I will bless her and will surely give you a son by her." If you're familiar with the account of Abram and Sarai before their names changed, Sarai wanted a baby so bad, and she was old. Her husband was 99. She was old too. She felt like she was out of that season where she could have a baby. And let me tell you something, your feelings aren't facts. And at the end of the day, this is going to come off harsh, but you're going to have to not come in here with a spirit of offense, because when you do, you can't be taught. And I say this in all humility, and I have to tell myself this on a daily basis, but it really doesn't matter how you feel, because your feelings are not a fact. Did it really matter that Sarai felt like she wasn't going to be able to have a baby on her own? No, it really didn't matter how she felt about that. But because she felt that way, she zigged when she should have zagged, and she got out of line with the plan that God had for her life. And she took her maiden and made her husband and her maiden make a baby. Now, let me tell you something. That ain't never going to work. Us women are very possessive creatures. And that was never going to fly. So out of that, we get Ishmael. And it says, "I will bless her and I will surely give you a son by her, and I will bless her so that she will be the mother of nations. Kings of peoples will come from her." Verse 17, Abraham fell face down and he laughed and said to himself, "Will a son be born to a man 100 years old? See, God doesn't need your sarcasm. He doesn't need your disbelief, and he doesn't need your doubt. He needs you to come in line with what he has said about your life. Most of the time, people are off course with God because they refuse to come in line and get on the same lane as what God is on in their life. What happens when we won't get in line with the Word of God and what He has said over our life? Kayla, we waste years. Years wasted questioning God and doubting that He's able to do what He said He can. Look here, God can do whatever He wants to do. And he laughed and he said, "Will Sarah bear a child at the age of 90? And Abraham said to God, see, we're always trying to sneak one more little detail in there with God. Abram said to God, "If only Ishmael might live under your blessing." How many times have we tried to make our mistake be under the umbrella of what God has created and designed for our life? See, if it was wrong on day one, guess what, baby? It don't matter. If you spend 30 years in the wrong, it's still going to be wrong on the very last day. Stop trying to slip your sin under the grace of God. God's got grace for it, angel, no doubt. But look here. If it was wrong, it's going to be wrong on the first day. It'll be wrong on the last day. And here Abraham is, and he's saying, if only you could take that mistake and have all this good for the mistake. Look here, God ain't jiving and jiving with that. So we see God changed his name, and he changed the name of his wife. Sometimes when you're looking in the mirror, all you're seeing is everything that you've done wrong. You need to stop seeing yourself in that way, and you need to start looking in the mirror, and you need to choose to see something else. Hello, Mr. Successful. Hello, Miss Beautiful. Hello, Accomplished. Good morning, head and not the tail. Good morning, Blessed. Good morning, Victorious. What you're speaking over your life is going to matter so much in your life. You'll make mountains for yourself or you'll move mountains for yourself, and that is up to you. Go with me now to Romans chapter 4. We're going to look at verses 17 through 25. As it is written, I have made you a father of many nations. He is our father in the sight of God in whom he believed. The God who gives life to the dead and calls things that are not as though they were. Before Abraham was ever the father of many nations, God called him the father of many nations. You've got to get your faith to the point where you're calling things that are not as if they are on the front end of it. Don't be doubting Thomas. There are things that I have been up against in the past 5 years, and I didn't know how on earth God was going to fix them, but I knew that he was. How did I know it? Because Dwayne, he had never had a track record with me and him where he failed, not even one time. So even when you're overwhelmed at how God is going to work something out, you need to be speaking to that thing, whatever it is, and you need to speak to it on a daily, daily basis. And you don't need to speak and get yourself to where you're going to lose hope with it. Oh, I don't know if it's going to work out. I don't know if it's ever going to change. I don't know if I'm going to ever get any better. I don't know if I'll ever be able to get this old knee to where I can get up and do anything for anybody else. You get your old bum knee and you get your butt up and you get to getting it going. Amen? About a month ago. Now, I'm only 38 years old. But Tanya, just now, what I have started to notice is for the first time in my life, I'm aging. I never saw that coming. But I've started squinting when I'm trying to read something small. Sometimes I wake up and I'm hurting. I thought, oh my gosh, this is actually for real. I thought everybody else was just making it up. Well, about a month ago, I had sat down and I was doing some computer work for about 8 hours. There's a lot more to pastoring behind the scenes than me just getting up here and talking. And I was working on the computer for several hours in the day. And when I got up, Angel, I could not feel my leg. And I thought, well, this will pass. Get into Walmart, Brian, and it gets worse. And so I'm at this point where I'm in Walmart, and I'm dragging this leg because I can't feel it, and I can't lift it up. And when I do lift it up and I come down, I feel like it's going to give out on me. That went on for about a week. When that started happening, I started getting depressed. Because in my pea brain, in my fleshly brain, I started thinking and saying to myself, what if it's this, this, and this? See, you need to take all the what ifs and scoot them off of the table. What if God just shows up and takes that off? You can't afford all the what ifs we've been thinking on. And then I was thinking, well, what if it don't get no better? What am I going to do on Wednesdays? What am I going to do on this day? What am I going to do this? And then finally, God brought back to my memory when I almost got ran over with Sister Blabbermouth on a Monday night. Somebody nearly ran over us and nearly killed us. And God, that night when that happened, God had me up on my feet and he said, Kelly, I saved your legs. And God brought me back to that moment. And he said, Kelly, I didn't save your leg 4 years ago for you to go through this now. You begin to speak to your leg and call it healed in Jesus' name. And for many nights after that, Alyssa, I would get my leg and I would say, leg, in the name of Jesus, you're completely healed. It just kept getting worse. People have asked me many times, why does my situation get worse after I start praying? Well, the devil don't like you praying. Because the devil knows you keep being faithful in that prayer, God's going to answer that prayer. What does he try to do? Get you discouraged where you can't pray? I'm up on my feet and I'm wearing any shoes I want to and my leg's just fine. Why? Because I told it was going to be fine. I told it was healed. And then I believed that God was going to perform that healing and it was going to be manifested sooner rather than later. Amen? So in Romans chapter 4, verse 17, calling things that are not as though they were. Calling things that are not as though they are. What do you got going on in your life that ain't looking good that you could call it something else? See, what's going on with you here this morning that you need to change your confession? I know for me, what I'm doing is I'm driving by my house that I've got for sale and I'm saying, in Jesus' name, you're sold. Amen. If you're going to the doctor and they keep showing you something that you don't like, the next time they show it to you, you need to say, give me a copy of that. And you need to get it before you every day and say, God, here it is. Lord, I thank you right now that it's changing right now in Jesus' name. Maybe it's your finances. I'll tell you this. When I was 14 years old, God began to speak to my heart. And he said, Kelly, I'm going to change some things in your life. And what I want you to do, at that time, I was working on a hardship license at Dairy Delight. And I was a hard little worker, and I would butter everybody up, and they'd tip me and everything else. But God inspired my 14-year-old heart to take my checkbook. I didn't even know how to write a check out, but I had a checkbook, and I began to take it up to the front right here. And at that time, we had a projector, and we would flip the songs. And it was my job to look at Dad, and when he gave me a nod, we were going to change the songs. And I would put the song up there, and it would project onto here. And I began to take my wallet, and I began to praise God with my finances. What did that mean? That meant that I began to be faithful in my tithing, even at the age of 14 years old. And I began to acknowledge that God knew more about my finances than I did. Amen. Now, I'm not preaching about money and finances, but you know what? Here we are. Because a lot of people, the last thing on them that gets saved is their finances. And because of that, they will not give it to God. So guess what? It is an open door for the devil to come right up in and steal what you wouldn't give to God in the first place. Now, if you're uncomfortable, that's because that's called conviction. I've had people corner me in the back. You just did that just no. I'm not doing that because of nobody. You know what? But when God brings it up to me, I'm going to spill it over to y'all. Well, guess what? Tanya, for 1 year, a 14-year-old kid, for 1 year, I worked and I saved up my money and I worshiped God. I remember that wallet. It was a silver wallet with glitter in it. You know, it's got to be blinged. And I had that. And then when I would raise my hand, I would take that checkbook and I would raise it up to God because look here, I knew that God had the ability to provide all my needs. Now, I'm not dissing any of my sisters, but what I will say is this right here. I was the only kid that they had that bought their own vehicle and paid for it myself and paid it with cash. And I'm going to tell you something. We went down to the Chevy place, took my daddy, and I bought my first truck. I paid for that. I was also the only one that never wrecked it. You know why? Somebody needs to hear me with some kids up in here, okay? I was the only one that didn't wreck my car because I was the only one that paid for my car. You keep giving and giving and giving to your kids and they keep screwing it up because they don't know what it costs you to get it. And Dad would say, well, can't Shelly borrow your truck? Heck no, she ain't borrow my truck. Ain't nobody else going to borrow it either. Why? Because, see, I know what it was to stand on those concrete floors and serve that iced tea for hours at a time where everybody else was out cruising and having fun. No. That's mine, and I worked for it. When I got to that dealership to buy that vehicle, now, it was a clunker, but I bought it, and I was proud of it. They told me the amount. It was $1,475. And I didn't have the slightest clue how to even write that. And I handed my checkbook over to him, and he had to move my tithe check. 14-year-old kid. Now, this was not even a part of the message, but here we are. I don't know why we're going here, but we're going to go. He had to flip my tithe check up to write that amount. But for 1 year, Paul, 1 year, God taught me as a 14-year-old kid how to give it to God. Give it to God. What? All of it. Amen. All of it. God wants your confession in here. That's what he wants from you. You're sitting there and you're asking God, what does he want? He wants the next time you have a bad day to stop saying something stupid.
Amen, he does.
How much dumb things do we say in the heat of the moment? Boy, I know I say some real dumb things.
Amen.
Ask Frank. Most of them are directed towards him.
Glory to God.
Poor guy. He didn't have any hair when I met him, but I don't know what's going to go on next. But God wants your confession. And he wants your confession to be lined up with his word and what he has said about you. Because it don't matter how you feel. You still, despite the way that you feel, you are still above and not beneath. It don't matter if you don't feel that way. You still are. Calling things that are not as though they are. Go with me now to Jeremiah chapter 1. We're going to look at verse 4. The word of the Lord, this is Jeremiah, and Jeremiah was not even an adult at this point in his life. Why do you need to read the word? Because every problem, everything that is going on in your life right now, it's in the word.
Amen.
And we're walking around with chickens like our heads cut off because we don't know where to go. Look here, you need to go to the word. When you feel like going to Facebook with all your nonsense, try going to the word first. Because ain't nobody needs to know when you're peeing and what you're eating. Then the word of the Lord came to me saying, and I want to tell you that the word of God will come to you and it will speak to you. And here's Jeremiah, the word of the Lord came to me, and it said, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart, and I appointed you as a prophet to the nations. And so we see here once again that God is calling somebody something before they even knew that that's what they were going to be. Oh, sovereign Lord, I said, I do not know how to speak. I am only a child. And so many times we just refuse to line up with the word of God and what God has said over us and about us. And we begin to give God excuses as to why something couldn't happen that he said could happen. If God told you that he was going to do something, he's going to do it. He's going to do it. So here's Jeremiah, and he's doing the normal human thing. God tells him that he's a prophet, and Jeremiah says, well, no, that can't be because I cannot even speak. So you must be wrong. But the Lord said to me, do not say, I am only a child. You must go to everyone that I send you to and say whatever I command you. Do not be afraid of them, for I am with you and will rescue you, declares the Lord. Verse 9, then the Lord, this is very important. If you could start your day out with this, you would start your day out with power immediately. Every day. Then the Lord reached out his hand and he touched my mouth and said to me, now, not yesterday, not tomorrow, but right now. Now, I have put my words inside of your mouth. See, sometimes what you really need in the middle of your problem is you need to get down on your knees and you need to put your hand over your mouth and you need to say, God, in Jesus' name, I ask you to put your hand on my mouth and begin to put the words for me to say.
Amen. Thank you, God.
There's too many people saying stuff that God never wanted you to say. And you create mountains with what you're saying. You can move mountains with what you speak, or you can make mountains with what you speak. And that is your choice. Everybody's all big into choices. Oh, it's my choice. Yes, it is. That's a lot of pressure. If I was you, I'd give the choices to Jesus and just let him decide what he has for you and go along with it. See, today I appoint you over nations and kingdoms to uproot and to tear down, to destroy and overthrow, to build and to plant. We need to ask God to begin to touch our mouth so he can put his words inside of our mouth. Amen. Let's go to Matthew chapter 12. We're going to look at verse 33. What would happen in our lives if only the words of God came out? What would happen? How much would your life, how different would your life be if you gave him your words? You know how many relationships are so screwed up just because people wouldn't shut up? I know that's rude to say shut up in church, but I'm saying it because I'm going to preach where we live. Matthew chapter 12, verse 33. Make a tree good and its fruit will be good, or make a tree bad and its fruit will be bad, for a tree is recognized by its fruit. You are all bearing fruit in your life. Start inspecting your fruit. What are you putting out there? Is it good or is it bad? You brood of vipers, how can you who are evil say anything good? For out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. Sometimes people don't know why they said what they said. And here is always the answer. You said what you said because it was in your heart and you let it stay there. What did we say last week? A heart unchecked. What does it end up? A godless heart. If you speak and stuff comes out that you don't like, it's because that was what was inside of you and it came out. Why? Because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. If you are constantly confessing negativity over your life, you don't need to wonder why your life is negative. You have to change what's inside of you for what's coming out of you to change. What comes in is going to come out. A lot of people, just their confession doesn't line up with the word. For out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. The good man brings good things out of the good that is stored up inside of him. And the evil man brings evil things out of the evil that is stored up in him. But I tell you that men will have to give an account on the day of judgment for every careless word that they have spoken. Verse 37 is very important. For by your words you will be acquitted, and by your words you will be condemned. Go with me to Proverbs chapter 18. We're going to look at verse 21. Even sinners know this verse. The tongue has the power of life and death, and those who love it will eat its fruit. That's how powerful your words are. Very powerful. You're going to speak life or you're going to speak death. That's why the Word of God says, you choose you this day. Do you want blessing or do you want curse? Do you want life or do you want death? See, choices are found all throughout the Word of God. How do you choose life? You better choose your words. And those words, if they line up with the Word, you've chosen life. Now, go with me to Psalms chapter 107. Verse 20. So today, when we got here, the airs were set on 58 degrees. So, Russell, when I got here, here's what I know. It's going to feel a little chilly in here till about 10:29 when everybody decides to come. That's a joke. Sorry. You guys aren't in a joking mood today. But so what I don't want to do, and I really try very hard with the air. I really do. I mean, I get a gold star every Sunday for trying my darndest with this air. Now, do I get it right ever? No, because you can't make everybody happy. So what I did was I began to take the chill off of the air that was in here. I turned it on 61. Let that chill get off of there. What I know is the more people that come in here, it's going to get hotter, and it's going to get hotter, and it's going to get hotter. And I always tell people, now nobody ever listens, but I always say, don't raise that heat up to what you think it needs to be on right now, because there's only 15 people here right now. If you put that on 70, and 70 more people come in, guess what we get to be for the rest of the morning? Hot. Amen. Now, why does this go in with the message? Your words are like the thermostat for your life. You're going to set your life on what you say. Amen. If I'm going through a situation, I'm going through a situation right now, and I can either be Debbie Downer or Positive Polly. And I have destined myself to be Positive Polly. Because here's what I know. At the end of the day, whether it takes a year, 2 years, 3 years, 4 years, 5 years, Kayla, at the end of the day, God is going to do what he said that he would do for me. It will not be on my time schedule, but what I'm not going to do is get myself down and out where I'm negative in everything that I encounter every day of my life till God does what he said he was going to do. Guess what? That'll all be negative too. So what do? Angel, I speak positivity over it. Why? So everything else can keep positive also. If you want to have a good life, you better speak good. Speak positive over it. I'm hearing too many Christian people, well, I don't plan on being around much longer. I don't feel good. Well, you know what? Stop going off of how you feel. And change your confession. Oh, I'm ready to go home and meet Jesus. Well, great. Be ready every day. But look here. For everybody that loves you, that's hard to hear. Say, look here, at any day I'm ready to meet Jesus, but until he comes to get me, I'm ready to do what he wants me to do.
Amen.
Our confession. I know when Bobby was looking for a job, Bobby, I was ready for you to have that job immediately. But here's what I know. How many months?
Six.
That was a long 6 months, wasn't it? When I prayed for Bobby, I didn't say, God, give him any old job. My confession over your life was, God, give Bobby the right job. Put him where you want him. God, put him in an atmosphere where there's men and people that he can get along with, and it's not a drudgery and a dread for him every day. So when he goes home to Lori, he's not in a bad mood every day.
Amen.
Our confession is making up so much of our life, and that's why we've got to get our confession in line with the Word. If you're believing God for your family, if something has come up that's a catastrophe or chaos or traumatic, speak to it. Whatever part of your life that you're having a difficult part in, speak over that part. Speak over it. In Jesus' name, you're turning around. And it's not going to be because I've stressed over it for forever. Because it's not by might, it's not by power, but God, it's by your Spirit. So Lord, right now, I get my life and my confession lined up with your Word that says that not one more anxious thought is going to add to this. So God, I'm just going to choose to walk in joy and to walk in peace, and I'm going to be patient till you work this out. Amen? I'm going to shift the order of this service. It is the first Sunday of February. We are going to take communion. Parish Christian Center is an interdenominational ministry. Communion is open to everyone. We're not going to shove it down your throat. It's an opportunity and a privilege to come into God's house and to take communion. At this point, I'm going to ask you to, if you have the strength to either come to the altar and examine your heart or make an altar where you're at. We examine our heart so we can take communion in a worthy matter. What do you need to examine? Whatever it is between you and God, if there's something that's in between you guys and you feel a distance there, confess that. Get it out there. If I could have Brother Ernie, Brother Sam, Brother Charles. Sorry, Brother, that was me. Y'all can begin to pass these out. This is the body of Jesus that was broken for you and for me. Communion is one of the most personal things that you can ever do. Make it personal today. How do we do that? We realize that this is His body, and Kayla, His body was broken for us. Why is that relevant to us today? Because when we're broken, we're paying something that was already paid. If you have a physical need in your body, if there's something going on with you, and you need a touch from God in your body, maybe in an emotional sense, maybe in the physical sense, I'm going to ask you to stand, because what I believe is that as we do this in remembrance of Him, He meets us right in that place where there's a need, where there's a lack, and He meets that need. Brother Charlie has done this for over 30 years with us. Y'all take that with me and break it. Why are we breaking it? Because this is a part of what we are remembering. He was broken for us. Pray with me now. Father in heaven, we thank You for everything that You're doing right now. And we receive what You're doing right now. In Jesus' name, amen. Y'all may partake. Guys, if you'll take those cups and begin to pass them out. Thank you. Now this cup here is the blood of Jesus. The Word says that it was poured out for us for the forgiveness of sin. Also, in another place in the Word of God, it refers to this as the cup of blessing. Why? Because God loves blessing His children. It's not a bad thing to talk about the blessing of God in church, because God is always looking to bless you. To bless you. If there's a place in your life and you say, God, I need a blessing that only You can bring, I'm going to ask you to stand. If there's a place in your life where you say, you know, God, I'm in something and I don't want to be in it any longer, can You touch this part of my life and can You turn it around? Can You help me to be able to move forward? I believe that God is here to bless people and help them to be able to do that. And make sure that we get our sound, guys. As you're standing there, I hope you're not sitting there worried about whether it's 12 o'clock or not. It isn't. It's 11:58. I hope you're sitting there thinking, God, thank You for doing this for me. I hope that you've made it personal today, because see, God is such a personable God. Pray with me now. Father in heaven, we come before You right now, and we acknowledge that every good and perfect gift, it's from You. So thank You, God, for meeting me right where I am in this moment. In Jesus' name, amen. Y'all don't forget to write out your question if you have one. right here and put it in this blue bowl over here. If you signed up to take a blessing box, see Frank for that. He will get it for you. We are going to give out food today, and that is going to take us about 5 minutes to get it out. So if you'll be patient for us, we love you guys tonight. Brother Sam is going to preach. If you don't usually come on Sunday nights, I encourage you to start coming. Amen. We love you. And this service is dismissed.